Good evening and welcome to Matters of Life. I'm your host, John Lucier, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me this evening as we discuss restoration. Restoration comes from the Lord. And if you've been following along in these past few episodes, we've gotten to know the Lord and His character, His nature, His attributes, but His heart. His heart towards His people. And this evening's episode is going to be no different, but we're going to understand restoration. And the way the Lord was explaining to me is that there are those that are, if you will, caught between two things in the sense of they're looking at restoration, but then they're also looking at judgment. And so we're going to address that in this episode. So if we could all just bow our heads for a quick moment of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are and for your heart towards us. And yes, that you are restoring all things, that you are bringing your people and drawing them to yourself. We thank you. We praise you. We welcome you into this place and your Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to guide us in all truth, wisdom, knowledge, to make us more conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus, the Christ, and to teach us and tell us of things to come. So we thank you and give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in the almighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so in this episode, I have a question for everyone. I can only speak for myself, but there comes a time, at least in my life, where my parents left and left me in charge. I don't know about what everyone else, but it would appear as though the assessment is that at some point in time, we were left at home, of course, with age-appropriate conditions and the like, but we were left in charge to manage the household. Now, of course, that's minimal because, and I say that and for this reason, our parents were still in charge. But they had delegated some of their authority to, well, use myself, to me, and for those that have been in a similar position, each and every one of you, to ensure that things were kept intact, up to the standard, and that everyone else in the house, siblings and the like, were taken care of. Their expectation was that there would be no different if they left one of their children in charge than if they were right there. Now, that's not always the case. Not always the case at all. How many times have parents come back and found their place in disarray? That it appeared as though a tornado had come through, and I don't mean a literal tornado, but I mean that a whirlwind had happened. Things are out of alignment, the place is, messy and, who knows what's going on. And sometimes the individual left in charge was off doing their own thing, which then gave time and opportunity for their siblings to also be out of alignment. And then those things needed to be addressed. Absolutely, the mess that was left or made or whatever the case was needed to be addressed. But the very first thing that would happen is a sit down, or what we have come to call a come to Jesus meeting, and things are going to be addressed. Yes, the individual that was left in charge is going to absolutely get spoken to and with in the presence of everybody, but then also the rest of the siblings, those in the house that were there at that time, that may have contributed to the state of things. They were also going to be addressed as to what they did or didn't do. What was their role and their place in either contributing to, the chaos and clearly the end state of what the parents, those in authority, were looking at, or did they uphold the standard that was required? So here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're kind of coming in the middle of a conversation that Moses, or the Lord through Moses, is having with the children of Israel. But he's talking about restoration. And just like in the example concerning my own life, and I'm sure it's a generalized example because we've all had similar situations and circumstances. In the general example, there's also, if you will, a judgment that's happening. In restoration, things that are out of alignment, out of order, that have rotted away, have to be removed. They have to be dealt with or addressed and dealt with so that actual restoration can happen. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, the Lord is speaking of restoration. And he's saying it is there for you. And there are requirements for restoration. So we're going to read this chapter, and then we're going to discuss it as the Lord has, I'll say, given it to me. And it begins and says, "So it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and soul according to all that I command you today, you and your sons. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you will possess it, and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you shall again obey the Lord and observe all his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, and the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you. Nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not obey, but are drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land which you are crossing, the Jordan, to enter and possess it. And I call on heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Amen. All right, so there's clearly a ton in there. But the very first thing that we need to understand is that the Lord is calling the people to return to him and to obey him. Well, let's also understand what's happening. He's addressing the things that are incorrect, that are in opposition to him by the people. Now, yes, this is a new generation. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. But here's the thing. Taking the example. And I'll say this first. This Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. It's being given to a new generation that is about to be brought into the land that the Lord was giving them and restoring them. Well, he's restoring them first to the Lord, but then with that is because they would be in covenant. Contained in that covenant is restoration and to all the things that are there, contained within the covenant. So an important thing for us to understand, covenant is a container for the blessing, and obedience is the key that unlocks the door. Phrase a slightly different way, it's the deed to the house, that's covenant. The covenant is a deed to the house. It gives you ownership to your home, and obedience is the key to open that door so you may enter. Now, this generation has seen the generation before it not obey the Lord and suffer the consequences. They were removed. If you will, you could say they were judged. Now they were given time to repent, to do all those other things, but they were told they would not enter the land. And something for us to understand in this. Just like when parents come home and find that the place is not, or that the individuals in their home are not following the example and adhering to the standard and the laws or the rules of the house, everything and everyone must be dealt with. And then after it's dealt with, then the restoration can happen. The cleaning of the mess and all those things that are required to restore the place to how it was before the parents left. That can now occur. But the very first thing that must be dealt with is the individual, with their heart, so that the rest can continue. Now, again, we're coming into the middle of a conversation here, because the Lord, through Moses, has already been speaking of covenant. And as I said, this is a generation that is hearing the law. It's being given for a second time. But it didn't start here in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy. It began at the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy. But we can just look at chapter 5. And with that, I'll read the first six verses. It says, "Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinance which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all those of us alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face at the mountain from the midst of the fire, while I was standing between the Lord and you at that time, to declare to you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid because of the fire and did not go up the mountain. He said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery.'" Now we're going to pause there, because that's the sixth verse, but understand what is being discussed here. And the Lord is speaking of restoration. He's also speaking of the covenant he made with us. And he's reminding the people about restoration, how it comes from the Lord, because the Lord's the one that did it. He's the one that also made covenant. Excuse me. And the covenant he made is with us. And that was verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 5. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 3 says, "The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, with all of us alive here today." So here he's instructing a generation about to step into leadership to make a choice. And we should understand this about this verse. That covenant is still with us for today. Each generation has to make the choice for themselves to enter into covenant with the Lord or not. This is also why John the Baptist and first and foremost Jesus the Christ would say things in the Gospels like, don't say to yourselves, we're sons of Abraham. Because wait, he said he's making it, he didn't make it with our fathers, he's making it with us. You, yes, you who are listening, have the opportunity to be in covenant with the Lord God, the true and living God, the I Am, the great I Am. He's instructing this generation to step, that's about to step into leadership. And then right after that, in verse 6, and he says, I've delivered you. I've already brought about this deliverance. He then goes into the Ten Commandments. And he's also there speaking of the Lord's righteousness, justice, authority, and power. Now, the Lord is always has those things. But again, covenant is the container of the blessing. And obedience is the key that unlocks the door. We have access to all those things. He's given us those things, authority and power and all the rest of it to that come as a result of being in not just covenant, but being obedient to him. And that is what, like a parent that is getting ready to go, Moses is talking about here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He's reminding them of things he's already told them over time. And I remember when my parents would get ready to go somewhere and I was allowed to stay at home or be left in charge, that there would be, if you will, I don't want to say a pep talk, but a rundown of, hey, remember these things, do these things. And any additional instructions of things that I was now going to be made responsible for to manage while or before they returned, while they were gone and before they returned. But also, like I said, we were coming into the middle of a conversation which started, well, we'll just say in Deuteronomy 29. It started before that, but in Deuteronomy 29, he's again speaking of covenant. And I'll just read these key verses here. We'll read verse Deuteronomy 29, verse 1, and then 10 through 13, which says, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb. And then in verse 10, it says, you stand here today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord God, your God, and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that he may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, just as he spoke to you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant is made with everyone and every nation who will choose to enter into relationship with the Lord. Every generation has to choose for themselves what they will do. Every generation for itself and every person for themselves has to choose what they will do. And in Deuteronomy 30, Moses, the Lord, through Moses, is telling and exhorting this generation to enter into the covenant and to choose life, to be obedient to the Lord. That's from verse 15 to the end of the chapter. He's saying, look, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. And I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his judgments. Let's also understand that there is an element of judging in the restoration. At the beginning of this episode, we were talking about the things that were out of alignment, excuse me, must be addressed. They must be dealt with. Now, how does the Lord judge? Well, let's look at Ezekiel 22, the first 14 verses, which says this. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? Then cause her to know all her abominations. You shall say, thus says the Lord God, a city shedding blood in her midst, so that her time will come, and that makes idols contrary to her interest. For defilement, you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and defiled by your idols which you have made. Thus you have brought your day near, and I have come to your years. Therefore I have made you a reproach to the nation, and a mocking to all the lands. Those who are near and those who are far from you will mock you, you of ill repute, full of turmoil. Behold, the rulers of Israel, each according to his power, have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. They have treated father and mother lightly within you. The alien they have oppressed in your midst, the fatherless and the widow they have wronged in you. You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths. Slanderous men have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. Excuse me. And in you they have eaten at the mountain shrines. In your midst they have committed acts of lewdness. In you they have uncovered their father's nakedness. In you they have humbled her who was unclean in her menstrual impurity. One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in you has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In you they have taken bribes and blood, and taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest and profits, and you have injured your neighbors for gain by oppression. And you have forgotten me, declares the Lord God. Behold, then I smite my hand at your dishonest gain, which you have acquired at the bloodshed which is among you. Can your heart endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I will deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. Now, as I read that, I hope that when you were left in charge of even your parents' place, that all those things did not occur. But I use that example because everything first starts in the home. We are called to manage our own household well before we can manage the household of the Lord. But it doesn't just apply to our own household. It doesn't just apply to the things of the Lord. It applies to everything. And I'm sure as I read that, many of you listening heard your own nation in there, whether that's the United States or any nation here on the earth, heard those things and you're like, man, those things are happening, have been happening in my nation. But what did the Lord do? He used his servant to address them. The judging was, as I said at the beginning, it was to come the Jesus talk. It was a discussion, and by discussion, it was mostly one-sided, a one-way conversation, so that we could understand all the ways in which we had missed the mark, that we had erred, strayed from the standard and from obedience. All the things that we had did that were in opposition to the Lord and did not exhibit his character, his nature, and his attributes in our lives. And yes, those things have to be dealt with. That is part of restoration. Restoration requires an uprooting or a removing of all those things that are rotted. Any fixing of a home, especially an older home. Anything that is rotted, that's been burned up, that has been tried, if you will, and has been found lacking. That is, cannot support the weight, is unfit, has to be removed so that something new can take its place and actually support the weight and fulfill what is required for that structure. The Lord's house is no different. The nations that He set up is no different. The governments that have been set up are no different. But it's in everything. It's in the home. It's in government. It's in legislation or the courts. It's in business. It's in education. Are these things found there? And if so, that is part of, if you will, the judgment, is understanding this is where things went wrong. And this is how we move forward. I can't speak to everybody's home, but in my home, if someone was out of alignment and it allowed all these things to occur, just because they were the oldest or they appeared to be the most qualified to take care of the home, if they could not be trusted, were not set back into the place of authority. Someone who could follow or would follow, would uphold the standard, adhere to, I'll say, the laws, the rules of the house, that would manage it in accordance with those who owned the home. They were set in that place and given an opportunity to lead. And you may be asking, why is this important? Because that's also what's happening here in Deuteronomy 30. Moses is reminding the people because he is about to depart. He's about to depart and he's having the conversation so that they understand what is required of everyone. And in the next episode, where we get into Deuteronomy 31, he is installing, or the Lord through Moses, it is installing new leadership to uphold the standard, the structure, those things that the Lord has established for His people and can lead and help the people be obedient. Judgment and restoration have to happen all but simultaneously. But the judgment is also a helping people understand what is out of alignment. But it also gets down to in those conversations, because the Lord knows all. We are laid bare or naked before Him. He knows the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Was it purposefully done? Or was it done out of ignorance? And the Lord knows how to address both and anywhere in between, so that each individual can now understand and restoration can occur. Because as I said, in those come to Jesus talks and discussions, everyone got addressed. Everyone was examined of what they did or didn't do and dealt with accordingly. And by dealt with, I mean first and foremost instructed. And only after the instruction occurred, or in this case, judgment, a teaching and education, only then could the work begin in restoration. And you will find that even here. again, as we get into the next episode in Deuteronomy 31, Moses will be instructing them. The Lord through Moses will be instructing them on, you have to do these things. And when you do these things, there's still work to do in the land to bring about the restoration to all that we have. And by we have, that the Lord has promised us. That he has already set forth for his people. We just have to walk in it. But we have to choose to walk in the covenant that he's given us. Again, covenant is the container for the blessing. And obedience is the key that unlocks that door. Or, again, said slightly different. The covenant is the deed to the house. It gives you ownership for your home. And obedience is the key to open that door so that you may enter. So it's not just about entering into the covenant. It's also about being obedient so that we can remain and not be set aside. So all that being said, we're going to pause there for today. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining me. I know we love you. We are keeping you in prayer. And I want to thank each and every one of you that are standing for righteousness and justice. Love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful evening.